We just completed the Yom Tov of Shavuos. It's very important that there are many people who really enjoy and appreciate when there's a Yom Tov. And then when the Yom Tov's over, they fall because it's gone, it's over. One of the most special things in Breslov that's not found anywhere else is a sefer called Likutei Tfilos. Rabbi Nachman taught his Talmidim, the Torah is very important and very special, but the Torah is incomplete without tefillah. Even though the Gemara tells us, Hashem says, Borosi Torah, Borosi Yetzirah, Borosi Torah Tavlin, Hashem says, I'm the one who created this monster, this angel, the evil inclination, but I also created the antidote to him. The antidote is the Torah, but still, we know that it's possible for a person to learn Torah, it's possible for a person to know what's right, and yet when it comes to being tested, when the situation comes up, they don't do the right thing. That's one of the reasons why the Pasuk says in Aleinu, V'yodato hayoim v'hashevoisa elevavecha ki Hashem hu alikim, that it's not enough to know that there's a Hashem, I know, it's v'hashevoisa elevavecha. The heart is the main battlefield between these two opposing forces. There's a pasuk in Koheles, Lev Chacham liyaminoi, Lev Ksil lesmoiloi. An intelligent person favors the right side of his heart, and a fool favors the left side, the Yetzer Toiv and the Yetzer Hara. We study the knowledge, but then how do I see to it to move it down to the heart and that it should be established there strong enough to be able to give the Yetzer Toiv the strength that it needs when the test comes up to be able to pass the test? One of the ways that we do that is through tefillah, by pleading with Hashem. In many shuls on Shavuos, one of the highlights of the entire day is the tefillah before Kriya Shema, which begins either with the words Ahav HaSoilam or Ahav HaRabba, depending on different customs. And there we say, V'sein b'libeinu bina lohovin ulahaskil lishmoya lilmoid ulalamed lishmor v'lasay selakayim. We beg Hashem to give us the eight steps that are needed for real hatzlacha, real success in Yiddishkeit.
That would be like the gun. Before he steals, he asks Hashem, help me.
Exactly. That type of tefillah is called a tefillah ro, chas v'shon. There are tefillahs, for example, where a person davens for gashmias just for the sake of gashmias itself. Hashem, please give me good health so I can be healthy and strong, so that I can go to work, so that I can eat, so that I can feed my family.
Can you make a lot of money?
Without connecting it to the Torah. The Torah is the expression of the Ratzon of Hashem, what Hashem wants from us, what He expects from us. So when a person is davening for Gashmias just for the sake of Gashmias alone, with no connection to Ruchnias, that tefillah is actually referred to as not a good tefillah. It's compared, the Zohar HaKadosh compares it to dogs who bark. The barking sound is hav hav. And in Aramaic, the word hav means give. Give, give. Hashem, give me this, give me that, without. And Hashem says, what's in it for me? I created the world for a purpose. Lichvoidi berosiv yitzativ afasisiv. Hashem says, I created the world for my kavoid, which means for my ratzoin. And Hashem's ratzoin is expressed in the Torah. So Hashem says, if you're intending to fulfill the mitzvahs of the Torah, if you need gashmius, you need money to buy an esrog, to buy a lulav, to pay tuition in yeshiva, to pay membership in shul to help you, that there, the Gashmias has a purpose to it. It's connected to Ruchnias. It's connected to Ratzon of Hashem. If it's not, it doesn't have so much of a purpose. So that tefillah that we say before the Kriya Shema, where we're pleading with Hashem, V'sein b'libein b'in, V'hoer einenu b'soirasecha, V'dabek libeinu b'mitzvaysecha. There we're showing the connection again. V'hoer einenu b'soirasecha, I should understand the Torah. Why? So people should see how smart I am and they should compliment me. Wow, you're so smart, you're so intelligent, you speak so well. No. V'dabek libeinu b'mitzvaysecha. The purpose of that knowledge is to be able to perform mitzvahs. V'loi hamedrash sho'ikar ela hamaisa, the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, that learning is not the main thing, it's fulfilling what you learn. So that's one of the highlights on Shavuos, so I was saying that when a Yom Tov is over, people feel like it left, it's gone, and that's a terrible mistake. Gashmius is something which when it's over, it's over, it's gone. Ruchnius, we believe, is eternal, it's permanent. There's, in fact, there's a pasuk, ki ekach moyed, when I take the holiday, Ekach, I take it, I receive it, meaning that we believe Be'emuna Shleima, that all of the mitzvahs and all the Torah and all the good things that we did during this holiday is all deposited into a bank account. It's permanent. It's with us forever. It cannot be erased. It's something that will be with us literally for eternity. That's a feeling that we have after a Yom Tov. Now, we begin an era which goes from this point in time, the rest of the month of Sivan. There aren't any holidays, actual holidays. Tammuz, we have the beginning, Rosh Chodesh Tammuz, is the beginning of the 40 days that the Meraglim went on their mission to check out Eretz Yisrael, which was concluded on Tisha B'Av. And then after that, we have we have Shabbos Nachamu. After Tisha B'Av, we have a period of 40 days. We have 3 weeks from Shiva Asar B'Tammuz till Tisha B'Av. And then we have 7 weeks of Nechama, 7 weeks of Hashem consoling us, offering us condolences, in a sense, after Hashem destroyed his house, which was one of the main connections between us and Hashem. Hashem consoles us up until Rosh Hashanah. And then we have 2 haftorahs of tshuva, and then we go into the holiday season, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, etc. Interesting to note, today already we're into the 7th day of Sivan. In 2 weeks, we're going to have Chaf Sivan, the 20th day of Sivan, which not that many people are aware of it, but some of the Sidurim actually have it. Some of the Sidurim, in the back where they have Slichos, they have the Slichos for Chaf Sivan, which is a date which the rabbis in Europe, I believe it was the Vadar Barotzos, if I'm not mistaken, established as a fast day to remember the Harugim, the Jews that were massacred during the pogroms of Tach V'Tat, 1648 and 1649, when there were terrible, terrible massacres that took place throughout Eastern Europe, and maybe 100,000 Jews were murdered in sadistic, savage ways by the roaming bands at that time. Rav Nosson Zal has an outstanding piece in Likutei Halachos regarding that, because of the fact that we find that the Zohar HaKadosh mentions that there are certain dates that were very special opportunities as to when Moshiach should come. And one of those dates was this year, 1648, Shnas Tov Ches. The Zohar HaKadosh quotes a pasuk in Chumash, Bezois Yovoi Aharon El HaKodesh. With this, Aharon HaKodesh, the Kohen Gadol, will return to the Beis HaMikdash to start serving again. And the word Zois is 408, referring to the year 5408, when those terrible pogrom took place. And Rav Nosson Zal explains there how there are certain times when there's a designation, Hashem has designated this time for an incredible sanctification of the name of Hashem, an incredible glorification of Hashem's name, when Hashem's kavod is supposed to be increased to a maximum. If we are zeiche, if we make the proper preparation for it, then it comes with sweetness, with goodness, with celebration. If we're not zeiche, that same explosion has to take place, that same great light. And unfortunately, one of the ways that it happens is when Jews die al Kiddush Hashem. We have it on the day that the Mishkan was put up, on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. We know that that was one of the happiest days in the history of the world, that Hashem actually gave permission to put a structure, make a structure, va'asu li mikdosh v'shochanti b'soicham, and Hashem said, I'll be there. The divine presence will be there. And that was the forerunner of the Beis HaMikdashes in Eretz Yisrael. The Chiddush here was, the Gemara tells us that there are 10 levels of holiness in the world. Level number 1 is Eretz Yisrael. It begins in Eretz Yisrael. The rest of the world is considered to be outside the perimeter of holiness. And in Eretz Yisrael, you have Yerushalayim and so on and so forth. And here, out of Hashem's love and respect for Klal Yisrael, and especially Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem gave Moshe Rabbeinu the privilege of being able to establish a holy, a Beis HaMikdosh, a Mishkan, in Chutz Laretz, in a desert, with snakes and scorpions, nothing there, a completely desolate place. Hashem showed Klal Yisrael how great the power of a tzaddik is. That a tzaddik has such power, in a sense, greater than Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael, the kedusha there is fixed. You have Eretz Yisrael, you have Yerushalayim. You can't move Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is where Yerushalayim is. Bnei Brak, Tzfas, is where they are. They cannot be Yerushalayim. And in Yerushalayim, you have the Mokoy Mikdosh, the place, the site of the Beis HaMikdosh also. It's a fixed place. Moshe Rabbeinu was given the ability to create a portable Beis HaMikdosh, a Beis HaMikdosh that wherever they would put it up, wherever they would establish it, as it moved from location to location, it had that holiness of a Beis HaMikdosh. You could bring karbonos, the boundaries of Kohanim and Leviim, all the different laws of Beis HaMikdosh. So great is the power of a tzaddik. Number one, what he was able to do then, and Rav Nosson Zal explains that this is an incredible lesson for us, that now that we had the Beis HaMikdosh already, we had one Beis HaMikdosh and it was destroyed. We were given a second Beis HaMikdosh and it was destroyed because of us, because of our shortcomings. Still, just as Moshe Rabbeinu, pre-Beis HaMikdosh, was able to establish a Mishkan and to ensure that Hashem would be there, the same Moshe Rabbeinus, the tzaddikim of the generation, have the ability to establish a Beis HaKnesses, a Beis HaMedrash, a shul, a yeshiva, whether it's in Eretz Yisrael or even in Chutz Laretz, which is designated as a site of Kiddusha. And just as the Mishkan was able to draw, it was a Koyach HaMoshech, it drew the presence of Hashem to it, so too we're told. Hashem says, Loi ma'astim v'loi ga'altim l'chaloisam l'hofer b'risitom. Hashem says that even when we're going to commit sins and we're going to be evicted from Eretz Yisrael, Hashem says still, I will not despise you, I will not reject you, vo'ehi lohem l'mikdosh ma'at. I'll be for you a miniature Beis HaMikdosh. And the Gemara says that refers to the Batei Chneisiyos and Batei Midrashos, that Moshe Rabbeinu, by establishing a Mishkan in Chutz Laretz at that time, proved, he showed Klal Yisrael, that the power of a tzaddik is so great that wherever he is, even when he's outside of Eretz Yisrael, he has the koyach to establish, to fix a place that's designated as a mokum Torah, a mokum tefillah, and to draw the presence of the Shechina there. So this Chof Sivan is designated as a fast day when some shuls, they say certain slichos. We find, interestingly, that right after Chof Sivan, in the month of Tammuz, some of the first days of Tammuz, I believe it's Hei, Vav, and Zayin, the 5th, 6th, and 7th of Tammuz, are the days when a terrible pogrom took place in the city of Uman in Ukraine. This is after 1648. This is in the early 1700s, I believe it's 1768, if I'm not mistaken, when at that time, again, there were Kazakhs and Haydamaks that were roaming wild, and they started murdering Jews in different places. And the city of Uman at that time was a fortified city. It had a strong wall around it. And the person in charge of the city, the non-Jew who was in charge of the city, was favorable to the Jews. So Jews from surrounding areas thought that they could come to Uman and they would be safe there. And initially they were. But in the end, unfortunately, the murderers broke in and they murdered 30,000 Jews at the time there, approximately, over a period of 3 days. That's these 3 days, I believe, Hei Vav Zayin of Tammuz. Some of the Jews hid out in caves and other places, came in afterwards, and buried the remains of these 30,000 Jews. And eventually, Rabbi Nachman, who was born shortly after this pogrom, chose to be buried among these 30,000 Kedoshim. There was a tzaddik that lived at that time. His name was Rav Chazan, who wrote a eulogy, in a sense, for these 30,000 Kedoshim, a Keil Mole Rachmim, special Keil Mole, which is recited in memory of these Kedoshim at that time.
You say that name?
In some of the Breslov shuls, they recite that Keil Mole Rachmim. Getting back to our season now, the Parsha of the week, this week, is Bahaloscha in Eretz Yisrael. Bahaloscha begins with Hashem telling Moshe Rabbeinu, Daber el Aaron, V'yomarta Elov, tell Aaron HaKohen, Beha'aloscha es haneirois, el mul pnei amenoira, yoiru shivas haneirois. Those that are familiar with Hebrew, you don't use the word Beha'aloscha when you'll be madlik, lahadlik ner Chanukah, lahadlik. Laha'alot means to elevate. Beha'aloscha es neirois hamenoira, el mul pnei amenoira, yoiru shivas haneirois. Why is the word Bahaloscha used here? There are many different explanations that are given here. Rashi points out, Al Shem Shahalahav Oile, because of the fact that the flame goes up, goes in an upward direction, Ksiv Loshna Aliyah. That's why when it speaks about lighting the menorah, it uses the term Aliyah. Shetzorech lahadlik ad shetehe hashalheves oyla me'ileho. That we have to light it, make sure it's lit well enough so that the flame is rising up by itself. Even after you move your hand away, it's going up by itself. That's one of the explanations. Another explanation Rashi HaKadosh gives is that this teaches us that there was a step. There were steps in front of the menorah that the Kohen had to stand on the step when he was preparing the menorah, when he was preparing the wicks and the oil, all the different processes. In the Zohar HaKadosh, there's an interesting story. The Zohar HaKadosh tells many times about the students of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, about their travels and people they met different times. The Zohar HaKadosh tells about Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yitzchak, that they were once traveling and they came to a place where they saw these dark mountains, Horei Choshech. And the Zohar HaKadosh says, Rabbi Elazar looked up and he saw these mountains and he was filled with fear. He was very afraid. Now we're talking about Rabbi Elazar but Rabbi Shimon. We're talking about one of the Tanoim in the Gemara number one, and not just a regular Tana. The son of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochoizal, the Zohar HaKadosh says that, the Gemara says that Rabbi Yehuda Hanossi came to his father and complained about the huge difference between him, Rabbi Yehuda Hanossi, who's called Rabbeinu HaKadosh, and Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon, how Rabbi Elazar is so much greater than him. And Rabbi Yehuda Hanossi's father said to him, what do you want? It's not you, it's me. He's a lion, the son of a lion. You are a lion also, but you're a lion, the son of a fox, so you can't compare yourself to him. This is what his father said in his humility. The great Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon saw these Horei Choshech, and the Zohar HaKadosh says he was filled with fear. And he said to the other Tanoim, if my father were here, there'd be no reason to be afraid at all. We see in this case, as in many cases, the concept of Zchus Avos, the power of a generation, a previous generation, that it's a different league, even among these Tanoim. Rabbi Elazar says, if my father Rabbi Shimon were here, we wouldn't have to be afraid of anything. He's a mogen, he's a shield that could protect us from anything. And then he said, however, since there's three of us, and we're speaking words of Torah, so we can be assured also that the Midas HaDin, any form of Din, Chas V'Shalom, any form of Tum, any Klipois, any Shedim, will not be able to harm us either. And the Zohar HaKadosh says, they began speaking words of Torah among them. They spoke, and then they continued to walk. And then it says, one day it started getting dark, and they were looking for a place to shelter. So they saw a cave, and Rabbi Elazar said, one of us should go into the cave and see if there's a place there that's more suitable than out here for us to be able to spend the night and to continue speaking words of Torah. So the Zohar HaKadosh says, Rabbi Yossi went inside, and then he saw there was a cave inside the cave. And as he started moving towards the opening of that inner cave, he hears someone talking, and he hears him quoting this pasuk, Baha'aloyscho es haneirois el mul pnei amenoira. And he's excited, and he goes out and says to Rabbi Elazar, let's go inside, because Hashem has shown us tremendous favor to show us to perform a miracle for us, that out here in the wilderness, nowhere, inside this cave, there are people learning Torah, and there are people, it seems, that we're going to be able to learn from them. And sure enough, the Zohar HaKadosh goes on to say that they were overjoyed, and Rabbi Elazar quoted the pasuk, Mayokor chazdecha lekim, how great is your kindness, Hashem, to show us this chiddush out here in the wilderness. And they go inside, and then the Zohar HaKadosh says, each one of them said a dvar Torah. Rabbi Yossi spoke about this pasuk, Bahaloyscha, and he mentioned again, he questioned why these words, why is the word Bahaloyscha used instead of Lahadlik? And he said that we can answer this with a pasuk in Mishlei. We know there's a pasuk in Mishlei where the pasuk says, Shemen uktoires yisamach leiv. That there are two things that are unique in the joy and happiness they bring to a person. One is shemen, oil, which provides light. Shabbos, we bring in the Shabbos with candles, with light. And the Gemara speaks about the tremendous importance of having light in the house on Shabbos. So shemen is the symbol of light, and ktoiris is also something that's misameach, that gives joy and happiness, that gives simcha. So Rabbi Yossi said, this is why the pasuk uses the word Baha'aloyscha, Baha'aloyscha saneiros. It's a remez to the mitzvah of the ktoiris, The Ketores wasn't used for light. The Ketores is Mala a Reach Toiv. The beauty, the greatness of the Ketores is it gives us this fantastic aroma. And we're told, when is the Ketores? When can a person bring the Ketores? It's when the Kohen is preparing the candles to be lit, that's when the Ketores is brought, that there's a kesher between these two. These two go together because both of them represent the same thing. Both of them represent simcha, which is what attracts the presence of the Shekhinah. We know the Gemara says in Shabbos that the divine presence cannot be found in a place where there's atzvus, where there's sadness or depression, only mitoich simcha shel mitzvah. And the example of simcha shel mitzvah now we see is these two things. This shemen, the combination of the shemen and the ktoiris. The combination of these two things. The menorah and the ktoiris. These two go together. These two are major forces of simcha in the Beis Hamikdash, in the Mishkan, in the Beis Hamikdash. The question is, do we have these today? And the answer is that the Gemara says that number one, when a person learns karbonos, when a person learns about karbonos, they get credit as if they brought those karbonos, number one. Number two, especially in our tefillah, if when a person is davening, the Shulchan Aruch Kodesh says a person should try to make every effort to study the davening. Today, Baruch Hashem, we have Sidurim with translations, all kinds of translations and commentaries where a person could understand what they're saying. A person who recites the Ketores and has in mind that they want this to be an offering to Hashem gets credit as if they brought the Ketores. We know that there is one of the great tzaddikim that lived in the 1600s. His name was Reb Moshe Chaviv. He wrote a sefer, Seder Hayoim, which is quoted many times in Shulchan Aruch, the Mishneh Berurah, many other sforim quoted. It's a combination of halacha and kabbalah, the kabbalistic significance of the halachas that we perform. And when he writes about the Ketores, he quotes the Zohar HaKadosh, that if we would know how special the Ketores is, reciting the Ketores, a person would take each one of those samamonim and put it like a crown on his head. Each one of the 11 spices. And this is why it's brought as a custom when a person is reciting the Ketores to count them on their fingers, because each one of these is like a crown. Hatzori, Vatzipoiren, Hachelbana, Valavoinam, Moir, Uktsia, Shivasnevika, so on and so forth. Again, when you're counting and you're using your fingers, it puts the brakes on you a little. You're not just saying it quickly, where you're not thinking about what you're saying. It's one of the things that forces a person to concentrate a little more, to say it more carefully, because we realize how special this is. The Zohar HaKadosh tells stories where Rabbi Shimon and his students came to a place and there was a magefa, there was a plague, and they recited Ketores. By saying the Ketores, they were able to deflect the plague, that alone. And it's brought today that this is a very, very powerful thing. In this Sefer Seder Hayoim, he writes that based on how incredibly special the Zohar HaKadosh speaks about the meaningfulness of Ketores, that if a person really wants to show respect for the Ketores, they write it, they have it written on a parchment, the way it would be written in a Sefer Torah, and read it from there, read it from a cloth, as if he's reading from a Sefer Torah. And he writes that a person who does this will get all the benefits that are mentioned in the Zohar HaKadosh. Number one, the Gemara tells us that Ketores is ma'asheres, that Ketores gives ashirus, wealth. And it's brought that's why the Kohanim were only allowed once to bring the Ketores, in order to give a chance, to give an opportunity for every Kohen to have an opportunity to offer Ketores. If a person doesn't have a klaf, then of course they read it from a siddur, it's very good. But this rabbi writes that the benefits of Ketores, number one, the ashirus, number two, the protection, that it's a tremendous shmirah from any harm, chas v'shalom, whatsoever. Baruch nias abigashmias. And then this rabbi writes two words afterwards, which I don't know if it's found in any other sefer whatsoever. He writes, va'ani orev. And I guarantee this. This is something that you don't find tzaddikim saying these kind of words. That I guarantee that a person who's showing this kind of respect, you know, to have it written on a klaf could cost $100. It's like two mezuzahs. It could cost $100, $200 to have it written on a klaf properly, etc., etc. A person who shows that extra respect for the Ktoiris and reads it from the klaf, this is what this Sefer Seder Hayoim writes. Until about 40, 50 years ago, you hardly ever saw any person that did this, that had it on a klaf. There were maybe yechidim, you know, 1 in 10,000 people that had this. About 40, 50 years ago, it started being more integrated into Klal Yisrael. People became familiar with this. As our lives are getting more complicated and dangerous, Baruch Nias and Begashmias, the Hastora, the darkness, is increasing. People are always looking for things that can serve as a shmira, an extra protection, an extra bracha. So there are people that discovered this and started doing it. And one of my rebbe's, Reb Michal Dorfman, Zichron Avroch, I remember about 40 years ago, had the Sefer Seder Ayoim, and he showed this to me, he pointed out to me, and he said, this is a very special, it's a unique thing. You don't find this anywhere else, where a tzaddik. Now, this Seder Ayoim was written by somebody who came shortly after the Arizal. So we're talking about somebody who lived almost 500 years ago and was accepted as an authority in Halacha and Kabbalah. He's quoted in many Sforim, quote this Sefer Seder Ayoim. So at the time, he had this done and other people, and then it started appearing in shuls. You started seeing shuls, one by one. Sometimes he had a sofer who was looking also for people to know that he's a sofer. So he would donate this to a shul and put his name under it, Nidva so-and-so. People saw, and people would recite it from the klaf, that kind of thing. So it's a special thing. Again, the Ktoiris, the Menorah, these are among two of the most outstanding things that we had in the Mishkan. We'll mention one other item that Rav Nosson Zal points out related to the Menorah, related to this week's Parsha. The Pasuk says, El mul panei ha-Menorah yo'iru shiva saneirois. We know that the menorah had seven pieces to it. It was all part of one piece. It had to be made from one block of gold, carved out in such a way that there were seven candles that were lit. And the pasuk says that all seven of them should face towards the center one. Rav Nosson Zal points out that the number seven is merames to tzaddikim. We know that on Sukkos, we have the Shivaroyim, the seven shepherds of Klal Yisrael. And he says that the message that we're being shown here, that just like on Sukkos, the Shivaroyim, we know that there are two versions of the order that it said. Those that follow the Zohar HaKadosh, the Arizal, the Sifrei Kabbalah, the order is not necessarily by age, but the order is how they correspond to the Midos of Hashem. We know that Yosef HaTzadik came before Moshe Rabbeinu. Yosef HaTzadik was a son of Yaakov Avinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is several generations later. But following the Midos of Hashem, we have Avraham, Yitzchok, Yaakov. Those are three. Then the fourth one is Moshe Rabbeinu. And then we have Aharon. And then Yosef and David. Yosef is number six, and David HaMelech is number seven. Why is Yosef number six? Because among the seven Midos of Hashem, Chesed, Gevura, Tiferes, Netzach, Choyd, Yesoid, Yosef HaTzadik represents the Midah of Yesoid. Yesoid is foundation. Yesoid represents Tikkun HaBris. The word Yosef is Bigematria six times Hashem's name, Yudkei Vavkei, showing that he represents this sixth Midah of Hashem. The seventh Midah of Hashem is Malchus. We know that Dovid HaMelech is the symbol of Malchus. Dovid Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayom. His Midah is Malchus. And one of the ways that we see this, we know that in Sfiras Omer, we count 49 days. The 49th day is referred to as Malchus Sheba Malchus. And then we go into the holiday of Shavuos, which is the Yahrzeit and the birth date of Dovid HaMelech, the holiday of Shavuos. Those that live in Yerushalayim know that it's a time that hundreds, maybe thousands of people try to go to the kever of Dovid HaMelech because of the deep connection between Shavuos and Dovid HaMelech. In addition, we have Rus. We read Megillas Rus on Shavuos also because she is the mother of the Malchus. She is the original woman from whom this Malchus of Dovid HaMelech emanated. Rav Nosson Zal tells us that the message here in the candles of the menorah, all pointing inward towards that center candle, is just like we find regarding the 6 days of the week and Shabbos. The last three lines of the Shir Shel Yom on Wednesday are L'chu Neranano L'Hashem Noria L'Tzur Yishenu Nekadma Fono B'Soid, are the first three lines of the Friday night tefillah. On Wednesday, we're getting ready for Shabbos. We're told that Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday are already leaning in towards Shabbos. We're starting to draw upon ourselves the light of the Shabbos that's coming. Following Shabbos, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday are still receiving. They're an extension of the Shabbos before, to the point where we find in Halacha, if a person was not able to make Havdalah, they didn't have a candle, they didn't have Psamim, they're still able to make Havdalah until through Tuesday, because the Tuesday, the following Tuesday, is still considered attached to Shabbos. So we see that the middle one is Shabbos. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday are leaning in towards Shabbos. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday are turning back towards Shabbos. So too these tzaddikim, Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov on the right, and Aharon, Yosef, David, are all leaning into that center candle, which is Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is called Rabban Shel Kol HaNaviim. And Rav Nosson Zal points out that the lesson here is that even the greatest of tzaddikim need to receive from the tzaddik emes. There's one tzaddik in every generation who all the tzaddikim, not just all of Klal Yisrael, but all the tzaddikim need to receive from him. We see this in the beginning of Pirkei Avos, when it defines our heritage. It begins, Moshe Kibel Torah Misinai. What do you mean? He wasn't the only one there. It was Moshe Rabbeinu, Aaron HaKoyen, the Shivim Skenim. But the Mishnah doesn't say that. It says, Moshe Kibel Torah Misinai, Umesora LeYoshua, VeYoshua LeZikenim, LeNavim, LeNavim LeZikenim. That it starts with one, that there's one tzaddik whom even all the other tzaddikim receive from him. We should be zeicha, now that we're reading about this, this week's parsha, the Menorah, we should be zeicha that the light of all of the tzaddikim should light up the darkness that we find ourselves in, the ruchnius darkness, all the different types of darkness. Should be zeicha to see the tzaddikim in the schus of the botei kneses and botei midrashos, those that come to shul, to daven and to learn. Hashem should give us back the real Beis HaMikdash with the coming of Moshiach, b'mehirah v'yameinu, amen v'amen. Amen.